The intruder's objective was to log on to the Gateway computer, an Ultrix machine called Gatekeeper, named for a character in the film Ghostbusters. Gatekeeper was the only means of contact with the ARPANET. Getting into Ultrix, then, was necessary if they wanted to take software out of the company. Once the intruders had gathered their crop of passwords from a VMS machine, they could try each one of them on an Ultrix machine. And that is how they got into Gatekeeper. Long after midnight one night, Paul Vixie noticed activity on the account of one of the secretaries, who appeared to be using Gatekeeper in a very unusual and sophisticated manner. The next day, he had her change her password and disabled her account on the Gatekeeper computer. It was a daily battle, and even the best computer scientists at the research laboratory began to feel beleaguered. The intruders were creating too much extra work. Reed and Vixie were copying all recently changed files to special backup disks in case something went wrong. The intruders' clandestine copying activities were creating an unusually large number of recently changed files, which occasionally overflowed the backup disks. The Palo Alto scientists felt that the intruders were as clever as any they had ever seen. They were experts who didn't make mistakes. They broke into almost any computer in digital at will. It was evident from the way they were exploiting bugs that they must have source code, some pieces of which were so proprietary that even Reed and Vixie didn't have access to them. Frustrated by his own lack of access to the source code, Reed wrote in a message to Digital's security administrators, "Clearly the intruders have the sources. When sources are outlawed, only outlaws will have sources." One thing they did to limit the loss of information was to alter the data just before the intruders transmitted it out of the Palo Alto computer, coding it in such a way that it was useless after it was stolen. By August, at least 3 people in Palo Alto were taking turns monitoring the laboratory network. It usually made for an interesting evening. One thing they noticed was that, unlike a typical intruder in a computer, whoever this was had a fairly sophisticated method of sifting through directories for what he wanted. Ordinarily, a meddler entered a directory that appeared to contain something worth looking at and read the first 20 lines or so of several files. But this intruder was considerably more efficient. He had an uncanny way of finding a computer with vast amounts of data, and within half an hour, he would have the one thing up on the screen that was worth stealing. He did it by executing a sophisticated sweep of the entire system, looking at access times, and looking to see which people had been using which directories. His search strategy, curiously people-oriented, revealed an ingenious insight into corporate hierarchies. That is, he seemed to be able to figure out which people were important. Then he would go look at what they had been doing recently. The kicker was that he kept opening the safe and looking inside, but he never took anything other than source code. Perhaps he was just casing the joint. Among those involved in chasing down the interlopers, frustration grew. Sometimes, just to get some work done or to get a decent night's sleep, the Palo Alto crew would break the network links between Palo Alto computers and the outside world, disconnecting from both EasyNet and Internet by pulling the plug on the modems. If the computer scientists at Deckworld felt that they were under a sustained attack, some system managers at Digital's commercial offices were terrified, convinced that someone had taken the control of their machines out of their hands. In an electronic mail message to his managers, one irate Digital employee wrote, "We seem to be totally defenseless against these people. We have repeatedly rebuilt system after system, and finally management has told the system support group to ignore the problem. As a good network citizen, I want to make sure someone at network security knows that we are being raped in broad daylight. These people freely walk into our systems and are taking restricted confidential and proprietary information." The best that could be done was to take the VAX development cluster in New Hampshire off the EasyNet, which meant that engineers were unable to work on those computers from home or from remote sites. To many of them, it was an irksome and unacceptable solution. In the meantime, those in the Workstation Systems Engineering Group in Palo Alto, who were working on the new PMax workstation, had some real trade secrets to protect inside their computers. The Palo Alto group was toiling secretly, trying to bring its workstation to market ahead of Sun Microsystems, which was working on a similar computer. The principal objective behind the development of the new workstation was to take Digital's competitors completely by surprise. Losing that element of surprise could significantly hurt the computer's chances for success. Although the intruders logged on to machines belonging to the workstation group, they didn't appear to be interested in taking anything there. But as an extra precaution, the group kept the specifications to the new machine offline and gave them out in person to a select group of people.